praise the Lord. Number one, when you feel like it. Number two, when you don't feel like it. How many knows that's all the time? I will bless the Lord at all times. Everybody here needs a faith lift. Not a facelift, but a faith lift. He will lift you as you lift your heart, your voice, your hands. It's not about feeling, it's about knowing Him. Listen to me for a few moments. I'm going to share this in the message, maybe tomorrow night if God lets me. I've been reading the book Jim Baker wrote entitled, I Was Wrong. It's a powerful book. You need to get it and read it. He said, I believe that God sent me to prison not to suffer for my sins, even though I deserved it. But He sent me to prison to get to know Him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what God wants more than anything in this world is for you to be intimate with Him. It's not a form. It's not about just, you know, a ritual or a rut. No, no, no. It's about Jesus. This revival is about Jesus. To know Him. To worship Him. To love Him. Here's what Jim Baker said. He said, God was my motivation, my energy, my force. But he said, I had my hand on the controls. And that's the way it is with a lot of us, folks. He's in us. He's around us. He's on us. He drives us. He leads us. We can't do it without Him. But we still want to control. I want you to realize He is Lord. Because He is Lord, He's worthy of all worship and praise. I want you right now just lift your hands and lose track of time. You may not feel like it. It's not about feeling. It's about knowing God. Lift your voice and praise Him. Just lift your voice and praise Him all over this building. Lift your voice and praise Him. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we worship you. I want the music to stop, and I want you to worship God with your voice. Musicians, you can go down. Come on, I want us to worship God with our voice. Lift your hands and lift your voice and worship Him tonight. Come on, all over this building, would you praise Him? Would you praise Him? Would you praise Him? Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may not have the music tomorrow, but you got Him. Learn to praise Him without music. Learn to praise Him without a feel good. Learn to praise Him because you love Him. Lift your voice a little louder. Lift your hands a little higher. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we love you, we love you, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Come on, for 30 more seconds, I just want you to say, I love you, Jesus. 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 Glory, 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 glory to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, praise Him, church, praise Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. That's it, just praise Him because you love Him. Praise Him because you love Him tonight. Jesus, we praise you, we worship you. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to place your hand over your heart. We're going to pray a prayer we prayed for 27 weeks. And it's not ritual, it's not routine. From my heart, I want you to say these words. Dear God, speak to my heart, change my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Join hands with the one next to you right now. You've asked God to change your life, and I want you to agree right now. I just feel like the devil don't want this message to be heard. It's a message that God gave me for Monday night crowd. He orchestrated the crowd. He saw you coming. You're here from different states. Tonight is your night. Lift your voice and agree that the powers of darkness are rescinded. They're removed right now in Jesus' name. I release the glory of the Lord, and I release that river anointing. I release these people right now to flow with that anointing. I release, and I set everybody free right now in Jesus' name. Father, your will be done. We agree right now as we bind the forces of darkness. Rebuke, remove, rescind every evil presence. Thank you, Jesus, for the liberty. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Give him a resounding round of applause. Would you clap your hands for the glory of the Lord? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. I believe in the law of divine impartation. I don't understand it, but I believe it. Such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And that's the key. And that's the secret. Comes from God. We know that. It's not about me passing out gifts. It's about the Lord flowing to and through me. This is what happened in my life a year ago in March, Pensacola, Florida. We've been in great revivals. I was in a 7-week revival when the calls interrupted our life and said, you need to come down to see this revival. We went down there and God changed our life. The other night, Saturday evening, before 5,000 people, Brother Kilpatrick introduced me to come and meet and greet the folk. In fact, before more than 5,000, because the videotapes are going out all over the world, and there was several nations represented there that night. But here's what he said. He said, what God is doing here is awesome, but he said, it's not just happening here. He said, John Davis came down a year ago in March. God changed his life, filled him, and he's gone to a place called Miami, Oklahoma. Been there 27 weeks. The power of God is awesome. He gave the report of that revival. And as I stood there, I began to tell the people how important it was to stay in the presence of the Lord. Just stay where God is. Now, that's the word I'm giving you right now, preluding the message. Wherever there is a red-hot revival, I'm not talking about, you know, man being seen. I'm not talking about God's men of the hour of faith and power. That day is gone, folks. There's only one that's going to be glorified. How many knows who it is? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. For 27 weeks, we've glorified him, given him all the glory, and people have come from a 4-state area. He's orchestrating the crowds. How many are here for the first time tonight? Let me see your hand. I want us to welcome our first-timers tonight. God bless you. Many nights, a half to two-thirds of the crowd are first-timers. And so we just want to say that God is doing something and bringing people together. We've been here for 27 weeks now. We'll be here next week. Then we'll be leaving to minister in the month of March, or the month of May, rather, in some other places. I'll be talking with Pastor tomorrow night about coming back the month of June for a few days. But we've been here now for 27 weeks, 28 weeks next week. And so noise the news abroad. Get people here that have heard about it but haven't been here. because God will do something in their life. I want to say this. The month of May is an exciting month. The 13th, I'm bringing John Kilpatrick to Christ Chapel in Tulsa. Dave Dillon is here tonight. Dave is helping us. I've got calls from Tulsa today about, in fact, we just got the word out a few days ago, but already the phone's ringing, and people will be coming in all over that area to hear the story of the Pensacola outpouring. And so that's the 13th. Is that right? The 13th. It's on a Tuesday. We'll be there in full force, believe in God for great things. The 19th and 20th, which is the following Monday and Tuesday, we will be at Pittsburgh at the Memorial Hall for two nights of heaven on earth. And we're looking forward to that. Amen. Go ahead. Give the Lord a hand of praise. And this is a God thing. I felt divine direction ever since our friend called us from up there and told us about the Memorial Hall. And we just kind of put a hold on the hall and knew that God was going to lead us there. And about that time, the phone rang, and there was a pastor who said, myself and 11 other preachers got together today. We're wondering if you can come. I say, I'm already on the way. Amen. We've got the hall rented. And so tomorrow I'm meeting with them. Looks like there'll be at least 12 pastors that'll be back in the meeting. Joyful Youth, Joyful Praise Choir is going to be with us in Tulsa, going to be with us there in Pittsburgh. And so just get the word out. Word of mouth is still the best advertisement, folks. How many knows that? And get the word out. I believe, and here's what the pastor told me. He broke down and cried on the phone. He said, I've been there to Miami Revival. He said, God changed my life. He said, the other night when you prayed for me, you said some things. You didn't know me, but he said, God used that to change my life. Then he started crying. He said, we're believing that this is the hour for Pittsburgh. And he said, we're believing that when you come, there's going to be such a hunger and receptivity that revival is going to break out all over that city, all over the college campus, folks. How many knows God can do those kind of things? But anyway, we will be focusing this area in the month of May, taking the revival on the road, and just want to let you know that. Be much in prayer. I want to mention this also. Thank you so much for the offerings. We never really talked to people a lot about finances. We talked to our employer, and recently our employer told us that he's going to be escalating and intensifying our travels. He took me for a stroll down memory lane. 12 years ago on a 21-day fast, I saw the world, and I saw revival breaking out in all the countries of the world, and God said, you're going to be preaching overseas to different countries. And then we'd ministered 9 times over there before that, and all of a sudden it seemed like moratorium was placed on our travels, and God put us in a cave, stripped us and stretched us and began to work in us, on us. And then the other day he said, remember when I gave you that vision of ministry overseas? God said, it's time. Now I'm going to tell you something, folks. I thank God for the revival in the States, but how many know is the whole world needs the glory of the Lord? And so when you give in the offerings, I want you to realize this. We're on a salary, and the Secretary of Georgia makes us out check every week. We're on a salary, and I'm almost positive we don't make any more than anybody here tonight. And we're on a salary that I know that God told me to make. We don't touch the money. It goes into missions. It goes into ministry. It'll help us in our travels. I think it was day before yesterday, I was talking to George on the phone. And it's good to have a secretary that can call and talk to these airlines, because I hate it when people put you on hold and play music in your ear like you've got nothing better to do than to sit there for an hour to hear music. And so I don't even want to wait. So she's on there talking to the airlines, and to get the 21-day advance ticket to get the break is what it's all about. And so recently about $1,000 was spent on airplane tickets. God's able to meet the needs, and I'm not worried, folks. Sometimes I do, but how many knows when we do, we need to look up to our employer. How many knows who your employer is? He never changes. But as you give, it helps us in these areas. Recently, I went in our bookstore at Ozark and brought a lot of books back there. We also got videotapes from Pensacola, Florida that are back there. That'll be a blessing to you. And as you purchase that, all of that will go as well to help us in our travels. They'll bless you, and plus you'll bless us. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a principle in the Bible that runs down through the Bible, tremendous correlation as we appreciate that principle. When I was a boy, I picked up what I call and what you know as a boomerang. How many's ever heard of a boomerang? And I went all over town today looking for a boomerang to preach an illustrated message, and I couldn't find one. Went to Walmart. How many knows if Walmart doesn't have it, nobody's got it, folks. I was looking for a boomerang. Couldn't find one. One man said he was cleaning out his garage. Tried to throw the boomerang away, it kept coming back. Amen. And so if you had one, I'd love to have it tonight to illustrate the message. But the boomerang principle is found in God's word. Psalm 7:15, he made a pit and he fell into the ditch he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealings shall come down upon his own life. Boomerang, say it with me. Psalms 37, 14 and 15. The wicked have drawn out their sword to slay the upright. Their sword shall enter into their own heart. Boomerang, say it with me. Jeremiah 23, I will visit upon you the evil of your own doings. The boomerang principle, you know the principle. You throw it, it comes back. The Bible extols and accentuates this principle. It's found in Galatians 6, 7. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. How many know it's biblical, it's scriptural. And tonight, for the next few moments, as I preach on the boomerang, I want you to realize that this is the law of return, reciprocity, recompense, and retribution, the law of gravity, what goes up must come down, the law of nature, the law of God. Ladies and gentlemen, there are laws that are fixed, and you really don't break those laws. In fact, in a sense, you really don't break the law of God. You break yourself, because you see, God's laws are fixed. And what you cause to happen to somebody else, God causes to happen to you. It's irrevocable, irrefutable. It's irretrievable, if you will. You throw it, and even though you don't mean for it to, you try to pull it back, you wish you hadn't, it comes back and it hits you. When you mean harm for someone else, it misses them, but it circles, and it comes back on the perpetrator. The boomerang principle. Number one, you reap what you sow. Number two, you reap more than you sow. Because if you know anything about a boomerang, you throw that, it comes back with more velocity, more speed than you throw it with. Sometimes 10 times as much velocity or force comes back at you. Number three, you reap after you sow. 3 points, I'm through, but God isn't. Number one, you reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow. Number three, you reap after you sow. Ladies and gentlemen, here again, irrefutable, irrevocable. It's the law of God. Nobody here can sin successfully. The Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. You can change the name of sin, but you cannot change the nature of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. In spite of inflation, the wages of sin remain the same, death. Everybody say death. Simple as that. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. You cannot sin successfully. God says what you reap, you will sow. You sow potatoes, you reap potatoes. You sow tomatoes, you reap tomatoes. Ladies and gentlemen, you sow sin, you reap the results of that sin, which is death, destruction, devastation, decadence, and eternal damnation without God. You sow discord, you reap discord. Ladies and gentlemen, many will sow wild oats and pray for a crop failure, but how many knows you reap what you sow? If everybody would let that truth come into your heart and hit you hard and heavy like it has me today, I'm telling you tonight, there would not be a dry eye. There would not be a person sitting in the pew. You'd run to God and plead for mercy, because every one of us here know what it is to sow to the flesh. We have all sown to the flesh. We call it weakness. God calls it wickedness. I'm going to say it again. We call it weakness. God calls it wickedness. Sin is considered harmless, socially acceptable, palatable. We change the name, but the nature is the same. The law is fixed. You reap what you sow. What happens in the mind will happen in time. I'm going to say it again. What happens in the mind will happen in time. That's why it's so important that you realize that sin is nothing to be played with. You're to avoid and avert it like you would a rattlesnake, like you would an AIDS-contaminated needle. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't embrace sin. We shun sin. We shirk sin. We resist sin. And if any man sin, we don't play with the sin. We don't justify our sin. We get back up. We run to Calvary. We don't plead our case and say, because of my mom and my dad. No, no, no. One person said, I long to hear somebody that say, it's not my mom's fault or it's my dad's fault. I just messed up. Amen. And so we don't blame anybody. We run back to God and we say, forgive me. I don't plead my case. I plead guilty. I plead for mercy. And I plead the blood of Jesus. And how many knows there's a remedy for the malady called sin in the blood of Calvary's bleeding lamb? Lift up your voice. Let the pulpits thunder loud and clear. Let America hear and the world hear. The wages of sin is death. When you throw that boomerang, it's going to come back. It's going to come back with more velocity. It's going to come back after you throw it. But what you sow, you will reap. But the good news is this. The wages of sin may be death, but how many knows? The gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to realize God's word is irrevocable, irrefutable. Give him a hand of praise. I said the other day, when you spit up toward heaven, how many knows it falls back in your face? You can't throw mud without getting your own hands dirty. It's the law of God. You can't beat it. And I'm going to tell you something. The biggest gambler in this room tonight is the one that is gambling. And you're betting odds that you can make it through another day, another night, another service. And you can harbor that sin. And you can go ahead and let the flesh rule, dominate, domineer your life. It's going to catch up with you. There's nobody here that can outrun the boomerang. You cannot outrun sin. You cannot outtalk it, folks. My mom's favorite verse, she's in heaven tonight, but she used to pull my ear, this right ear. It's higher than this left ear. Yes, it is. And she would pull it as I stood on my tiptoes. And she would say, young man, be sure your sin will find you out. You try to outrun it, here it comes. It's coming back at you. You try to outtalk it, but eventually it catches up with you. Nobody here can sin successfully. You reap what you sow. Irrefutable, irreversible, irrevocable. It's the law of God. It's the law of the Bible. Number two, you reap more than you sow. I said a few moments ago, the boomerang comes back with more velocity and more power. Achan sinned. He died. But you see, sin not only affected Achan, it affected 36 other people. 36 other people lost their life because of Achan's sin. When you sin, it affects not only you, it affects your mind, it affects your life, affects your finances, it affects your family, it affects your friends. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest problem in this world is not the political problem, the social problem, it's the sin problem. And that's why we must lift our voice against sin. Warn young people, you don't need to sin, and you can avoid sin. And if you do sin, get back to God fast. I said, get back to God fast. There's a remedy as you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. And when you're through with it, it's not through with you. It comes back, and it stays in your mind, the haunting, taunting pangs of sin. Smoking, too much to give up, the world says. Here's what you give up when you give up smoking. You give up lung cancer and coughing and wheezing and dirty teeth and stained fingers and bad breath. How many knows we need to give it up? Drinking, too much to give up. Here's what you give up. Cirrhosis of the liver and bloodshot eyes. And you give up bellyache and visions of pink elephants and hangovers and puking up your guts. How many knows you need to give it up? X-rated movies, Johnny Carson interviewing Billy Graham. Billy, have you ever seen an X-rated movie? No, I haven't. Well, if you've never seen one, how do you know you wouldn't enjoy it? Billy Graham said, Johnny, I never had leprosy, but I know that I don't want leprosy. Amen. How many knows you need to avoid and avert sin? Drugs, burnout mind, spaced out look, devastated body. You see, you reap what you sow. Adam and Eve, ask them. They lived to see the boomerang come back, hit their son, who killed their other son. Think of the tears that were shed. Is there something worse than death? You answer that question. I've seen people who have been divorced and pulled apart, and they've lost somebody they've been with all those years, and they've made the statement, it'd been easier to die. I've known of people that have prayed for death because sin has been found out, exposed, to be expelled in their life. I'm reading the book that Jim Baker wrote entitled, I Was Wrong. Here's a man that would rather have died than to shame the name of Jesus Christ. There is repercussions. There is recompense. There is retribution. There is the law of return. Adam and Eve lived to regret the time that they listened, looked, lusted, and lost. And human history has been written in blood, sweat, and tears because of the boomerang. The boomerang. David, his sin was erased, but he lived to see his daughter raped by his son. And then the one son kills the other son. And then the son that killed the other son rebels against his dad. And finally he's hung, destroyed, devastated. Ladies and gentlemen, an elderly man pulled me down to his bedside not long ago, and he whispered these words in my ears. He said, I thank God for his mercy. But he said, young man, don't ever let anybody fool you. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. And those words haunt me. Those words are indelibly inbred within my spirit. That's why I'm preaching to you tonight, to let go of your sin. Those of you that have been playing around with the devil, I'm going to tell you right now, he plays for keeps. He plays for keeps. You get through with him, he's not through with you. He'll let you clap your hands, give God a patty cake, and lift a hand half mass in Holy Ghost revival. But you walk away from the flesh and the world and the devil, he'll scream like a spoiled brat, reach out, put his tentacles in you, and say, you belong to me. And tonight, we're going to rebuke the devil. We're going to remove the powers of darkness from your family. How many knows God can break the curse? I said, God can cancel Satan's assignment against your life. Is this something worse than death? David, the greatest saint, the greatest repenter. He was both a man after God's own heart. Yeah, God forgave, forgot forever. But to live with the horrendous consequences, it's an awesome thing. The baby dies. He cannot come back to me, but I can go to him. Daughter raped by his son, rebellious son. Absalom, Absalom, he cries. There's something worse than death. And tonight the Holy Ghost is going to move in this auditorium. The hand of heaven is going to circle this building in a few moments. There's boomerangs that we have thrown. There's boomerangs that we have thrown. And they're going to come back and hit our own head. That's what the Bible says. It runs down through the Word. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Listen to me, folks. You cannot sin successfully. Haman hung on his own gallows. There's the biblical principle again. He that diggeth a pit shall fall in it. It shall return upon his own head. You know the story. I'm not going to belabor the point. The gallows are built for Mordecai, but he was hung on his own gallows. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the law of the boomerang. Achan, I talked about Achan. 36 people died as a result of his sin. The Laban factor. Jacob conned everybody. He worked hard for Rachel. Rachel was going to be his wife, but the con was con. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. It's not a happy day in Jacob's life when he's worked hard. It's wedding night. He puts on the old spice and he goes over to lift the veil off his bride. And it's his ugly sister. Amen. And he says, my, somebody has conned me. Laban has conned me. I can't handle this. How many knows? You'll be conned if you're a con. Amen. You'll be deceived if you're deceptive. If you fool others, you're the biggest fool. Because I'm telling you right now, you cannot beat the odds, sin successfully. You do the crime. You do the time. You might get by with it. You won't get away with it. It's going to come back. You're going to pay the price. You're going to pay the piper. Ladies and gentlemen, the wages of sin remain the same. And America is reaping tonight. I said America is reaping tonight. You see, in the past 3 decades, 3 revolutions. First of all, the revolution called sorcery or drug revolution. 60s and 70s. As young guys and gals got high on what they thought was the ultimate euphoria, the jubilant ecstasy, getting high, no results, no consequences. But how many knows? Sin has consequences. You throw the boomerang, it's coming back, and we have reaped the consequences. Burn out mind, spaced outlook, people that have lost their thinking faculties, that function as part of a person because they flirted with the devil. Then came the sex revolution. No consequences. If it feels good, do it. Then if you don't want it, kill it. Abortion. If you don't like it, divorce it. If you can't take it, drug it. The sex revolution brought consequences. The boomerang comes back. It's called AIDS. And ladies and gentlemen, that strikes terror to the hearts of multiplied millions. And scientists will try to calm your fears and tell you there's only certain ways that you contact it. But I'm going to tell you right now, if the mosquito could spread malaria and other diseases, I'm not sure but what it can't spread the disease called AIDS. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to tell you, you cannot sin successfully. Let the world hear it. The devil's a liar. He's always been a liar. Let's expose him. Let's expel him. Get him out of your head, out of your home, out of your heart. Get him out of the church. Come on. Preach against sin. Stand against sin. America is reaping. And now the last revolution of the 90s, satanic revolution. The fastest growing church in America tonight is the Church of Satan. They're worshiping the devil today. Can you believe it? They're worshiping the devil. Great granddad roll over in his grave, seeing people actually worship the one that has caused all the devastation and decadence. But we've lived to see this day, which shows me that this is the last generation, because the devil promised Christ everything if you'll worship me. When the Antichrist comes, satanic worship will see a great revival. It's already seeing a revival. The fastest growing church in America is the church of Satan. Children are having children. Kids are killing kids. They kicked God out of school, expelled him out of school in 1993. Trace it back. The boomerang effect. Since that day, SAT scores have plummeted. And child abuse and delinquency and juvenile delinquency and teenage pregnancies and drugs begin to skyrocket. In the 1940s, the problems in schools was running in the hall, getting out of line, paper wads, and talking out loud. Today, it is robbery and arson and assaults on teachers. A lot of places, they have metal detectors in schools to keep young people from bringing guns to schools. What are you saying? When you expel God out of school, it left a vacuum, and the devil joined the school, and the devil's taken over the system. But I'm going to tell you, I love the song. We're going to invade the enemy's camp, and we're going to take back what the devil stole from us. It's time for revival. I said, it's time for revival in America. See, not only do you reap what you sow, potatoes, potatoes, tomatoes, tomatoes, sin, corruption, but you reap more than you sow. You can sow one apple seed and reap an apple tree. An orchard can come as a result of the origination of one seed. And that's the way it is. That's the Bible principle, the boomerang principle. The Bible says that you sow to the wind and you reap the whirlwind. Well, the highlights of my life was to work in youth camps, to see young guys and gals come to an altar at tender ages before their heart was hard against God and give Jesus everything. And it was there as decap. We've tried to instill within them this principle. You don't have to go into sin. And if you do, get back out. Jump back up. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. That's why we give an altar call. I don't care how many times you've been to Calvary. If there's sin in your life, how many knows it's going to destroy you? It must be repented of. And then there's the Pharisee. Why, is this the first time? Or is this the second time? Well, you've been saved before and you haven't. Is this rededication or is this getting right with God? Folks, forget all that. If there's sin in you, get to Calvary, fall on your face and repent and get right with God. We're going to face him. We're not here to extol figures. We're not here. We're not statistic idolaters. If there's only one person that came down here in this 27 weeks and said, Jesus, forgive me, how many knows all of heaven is shouting? All of heaven is rejoicing. It's the Pharisees that's not rejoicing. They're nitpicking. They're trying to find some faults. The shaking, the falling, the weeping. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't satisfy them. Don't try to satisfy them. Don't even negotiate. Don't spend time with them. Rebuke them. Get on with your life. How many knows Jesus is coming? We don't have long. I said, we don't have long. You reap more than you sow. It comes back. I know what it is to seemingly feel like I'm dying 1,000 deaths. 1,000 deaths. There's something worse than death. It's the pangs of a sore conscience, the struggle with condemnation. The peace is gone. And the devil comes back and reminds you of that sin time and again. Oh, yes, there's victory. But some of you are going through struggles tonight because of things that happened in bygone days. The devil plays with your head. You need the grace of God. God's grace abounds where sin doth abound. Grace doth much more abound. And God's going to give you grace. The remedy is the mercy of God. But it comes back more and more and more. And you got to stand. You got to rebuke the devil. You got to resist him. You got to stand on the word of God. What are you saying? I'm saying there's nobody here that is sinless. But everybody here needs to sin less and less and less and less. And there's a place in God where you don't practice sin. I believe there's a place in God where you can live above sin, overcome sin, folks, and we're striving for that place. We haven't arrived, but we're revived. Amen. And we're not going to let the devil play with our head. Ladies and gentlemen, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow. It keeps coming back. A moment of pleasure, a lifetime of regret. You sow a thought, you reap a deed. Sow a deed, you reap a character, a habit, a lifetime, a destiny, an eternity, and all began the theater of your mind. Let God renew your mind. Let God restore his life within you tonight. I'm telling you, I want you in a few moments to stand up and hate sin and detest sin more than anything in this world. John Wesley said, give me 100 men that love God and hate sin, and we'll turn this world around. Ladies and gentlemen, give me a crowd tonight that hates sin with all of your heart. We'll invade the high schools and the college campuses. We will kick the devil out of our house, out of our bedroom, out of our living room, out of our dining room. Come on, don't flirt with sin. Get rid of it in Jesus' name. You throw the boomerang, it comes back with more force. It comes back after. You reap after you sow. Here's a verse in Ecclesiastes that says, because judgment against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of man are fully set to do evil. I'm going to say that again. I want everybody to listen to me. Because judgment against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of man are fully set to do evil. Simply meaning when you sin, immediately you're not reprimanded. Immediately you don't die. Immediately you don't fall into hell. There is the sense that you got by with it. And that's why the world keeps on a-sinning. Because it looks like you're getting by. How many knows you're not getting by with it? You may think that you're getting away with it, but you're not getting by. Payday is not always Friday, but payday someday. Say it with me. Payday someday. The wages of sin remain the same. And you're really not getting away. But it seems like you are. As a young teenager, I know the feeling when I was getting ready to sin and the conscience would scream no. And the Holy Spirit, the dove, would reach out and say no. But I remember the flesh overruling and override that feeling, and I would do something I knew was wrong. But then, wasn't caught, wasn't found out. I said last night that my mom, I mean, she had radar plugged into Jesus because they was on such a line of communication. She would tell me, when you do something wrong, God tells me. I used to beg God not to tell my mom, but I'm going to tell you, he would tell her. She would know. She'd have that look on her face. I mean, it was God talks to his people. He leads, he guides. But I remember, and then the more that you sin, the easier it becomes. Until finally what you used to detest, now you embrace. You used to detest it. Now you embrace it. It doesn't seem wrong. You're not suffering for it. Everything's going good. The flesh enjoys it. You love Jesus. You clap your hands. You pay your tithe. But ladies and gentlemen, payday someday. Say it with me. Payday someday. It is the boomerang principle. You throw it. It comes right back with more velocity. It may come back later, but it's coming your way. I'm going to quote this again. Because judgment against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are fully set to do evil. Ladies and gentlemen, the mills of God grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. The wheels of God's judgment move slowly, but they get where they are going. They get where they are going. Everybody here is going to give an account before God. Daniel Webster said, the most horrid, awesome thought I ever had is someday I'm going to face God and give an account. But how many knows that some people are going to give an account beforehand because God is exposing sin to expel sin. Everybody here needs to read the book, I Was Wrong. As Jim Baker lays it out, he doesn't plead his case. He says, I was wrong. He tells all the details, but I'm going to tell you right now, folks, as he comes in for a landing, he stands and he simply says, you cannot sin and get by with it. The wages of sin is death. You reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow. You reap after you sow. After. It's going to come back. It's going to hit you. It's going to hit the family. It's going to destroy. Peace of mind is gone. The joy is gone. You thought you got by with it. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. The Bible says you reap what you sow. Now listen close. There's only one way to stop the boomerang effect. And I want you to listen. When you throw that boomerang circles and comes back. The only way that it stops is if it hits something hard and it just falls. Well, I'm going to tell you something. 2,000 years ago, the boomerang of sin hit an old rugged cross. How many knows when it hit that cross, it fell. And now the Bible teaches us, if you run to God for mercy, your sins can be forgiven, forgotten forever. And I believe there's a place in God. I said, I believe there's a place in God where he'll restore the wasted years. I said, he'll remedy that malady. I know that all of us feel like there's no way that I can make up for lost time. But the Bible says, I will restore that which the locust and the caterpillar and the cankerworm have destroyed, God's able to restore it. He's able to do a mighty work in a short time. It's a miracle. But how many knows He's a miracle working God and nothing's impossible? The boomerang hit the cross. I said, hit the cross. Judgment don't need to come on you. I said, how many knows Jesus has set you free once and for all? Rejoice. Give Him a hand of praise, everybody. Hallelujah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if this will hit you like it's hit me, you know what I was doing today? I was laying on my face saying, God, I've repented of those sins. I know when it happened, I've repented. And I'm pleading for mercy. I believe the blessing of the Lord is on me, upon my family, upon my offspring, upon His offspring. I believe that God breaks the generational curse. I mean, knows there's power in the blood of Jesus to break that generational curse. I'm not going to live in the haunting, taunting force of condemnation. I'm going to run to Jesus. For the Bible says, and listen close, you see, Galatians 6 and 7 is not just an awful warning. It's an awesome promise. It's an awesome promise. Here's what it says. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. It doesn't stop there. It says, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Here's what that means, folks. The Bible says you sow in righteousness and you reap in mercy. You sow in tears and you reap in joy. I'm telling you, if you'll run to Jesus tonight and ask Him to forgive you for your sins, the joy of the Lord is going to be your strength. I said the joy of the Lord is going to be your strength. You're going to hear the thud as that boomerang hits that old rugged cross. You're going to look up and see that Jesus, how many knows the boomerang hit Him? It hit Him. It was meant to come back on your head, but it hit Him. He became sin. He traded places with us. He took my place. He died for me. And now I can live and rejoice. Devil, you're not going to destroy my son. You're not going to destroy their baby. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. I'm claiming victory and liberty and life and peace and anointing and glory. How many knows it's a biblical principle? Give Him a hand of praise, everybody. Here's what it means for us. It's a wonderful promise. What you make happen for someone else, God will make happen to you. Bless others, God will bless you. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Lift Him up, He'll lift you up. Bless Him, He'll bless you. Turn to Him, He'll turn to you. Return to Him, He'll return to you. Give Him everything. How many knows He'll give you everything? And no good thing will He withhold from those that walk uprightly. The Bible says you sow in prayer and fasting, you reap in power with God. You sow in the Word, you reap in faith. You sow the fruit of the Spirit, you reap love, joy, and peace. Ladies and gentlemen, we all have wasted years. And I know that you can't cancel that harvest. But I believe that God can cancel the harvest. I believe that God can wipe out all the assignment that the devil has against us. And the secret is mercy. Say mercy. Say it again. Say it one more time. A man came to me one night after service and gave me an offering. He said, my son is lost without God. I'm giving you this offering because when you go out and you preach, I believe that sons and daughters are going to be one to Jesus Christ. And I'm sowing this in the name of my son. And I believe that my son, as I put his name on this gift, I believe that Jesus is going to save him. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe in those kind of miracles. I said, I believe in those kind of miracles. I'm telling you right now, in a service, a memorial service, a couple gave a memorial gift for their son that was killed in the war. $200. A man looked over at his wife and said, I want you to make out a check for $300. She said, well, our son wasn't killed in the war. He said, that's why I want you to make out a check for $300. Come on, folks. I'm telling you right now, you let the law of God hit your heart, you'll be giving and shouting and praising God. Come on. We've sinned a long time. Let's make up for lost time. Let's have a Holy Ghost revival. Let's shout. Let's run the aisles. Let's wave our hands. Let's clap our hands. Let's have a victory march. Let the devil know that the boomerang has stopped of sin, but the boomerang of God's love is coming back on us. Give Him a hand of praise. Give Him a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and praise Him before you're seated. Lift your hands and praise Him all over this auditorium. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to be seated. you to hear the heart of an evangelist, the heart of a man that's heard the voice of God. A message that has been on the back burners for a long time, and God said, tonight's the night. I'm going to have a crowd there tonight that needs to hear this word. So simple, yet so profound. The Bible boomerang. There it is. It runs concurrently down through Holy Writ. He made a pit, and is going to fall in the ditch he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealings shall come down upon his own life. The wicked have drawn out the sword to slay the upright. Their sword shall enter into their own heart. I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, as sure as the law of nature, the law of gravity. What goes up must come down. But how many knows? There is times that the law of gravity is defied. I'm going to tell you right now, as a preacher, I used to make the statement, when the trumpet sounds, ladies and gentlemen, gravity is going to lose its hold. But I don't believe that. If gravity lost its hold, every ungodly thing in this world would fly up. But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen when the trumpet sounds. The law of God and the power of God within us is going to be stronger than gravity around us. Amen. We're going to overcome gravity. I said, we're going to fly through the sky. Gravity's not going to keep us down. And so there's times the law is broken. The law of gravity shall be broken. The law of sin is broken, folks. I said it's broken. You come to Jesus Christ. You turn your past over to Him. God won't let you go back and redo all of that, but He'll let you back up to the old rugged cross. He'll say, the boomerang hit my son. You start right here, and you live a good life, and you repent daily, and you die daily, and you walk in the light as He's in the light, and the blood will keep on a cleansing. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's the greatest miracle in the world. It just keeps on a cleansing them, and keeps on a cleansing them, and keeps on a cleansing them, and I keep on repenting them. I keep on coming back to Jesus. I used to sin every day. I'm going to praise Him every day. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to come to church every day. I'm going to give God glory, honor. Give Him a hand of praise, everybody. You reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow, and you reap after you sow. As I'm preaching right now, the Holy Spirit's speaking to me. There are people here right now that hope to God that that boomerang does not return and hit your home, your head, and your own life. Because you've done things, said things, lying, conniving, maneuvering. You've been involved in some things. If everybody here had your past flashed upon the big screen that comes down that we sing off of, if you had your past flashed up there and embarrassed all of us. And everybody here, there's nobody here, I don't believe, that would be free from embarrassment. I believe that you'd tuck your head, get up, and tiptoe out of here because of the embarrassment. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, it's not going to be flashed on the screen if you run to Jesus and say, Father, mercy. Come on, say mercy. That's as simple as that, folks. Mercy, I'm telling you, nothing in my hand I bring. Save only to the cross I cling. I can't say I'm a preacher's boy. I'm not saved because my dad's saved. I'm telling you right now, your dad and mom can be in heaven. You'll bust hell wide open. You can go to hell with baptismal waters on your face. Know all the Bible stories by heart and miss God a million miles. No, no, no. Ladies and gentlemen, there came a time when I had to look at my daddy and say, I'm not going to heaven because you're going to heaven. I'm going to heaven because I've accepted the God of my Father. Amen. And Jesus is more than just a story I learned as a kid. I'm telling you right now, folks, He's in my heart. He's real to me. God gave me the message for you. The boomerangs are coming back. They're coming back. But I'm telling you right now, if you'll run to Jesus, you'll realize they're not going to hit you. They're not going to hit your family. Sin is powerful. Sin is powerful, but God is all-powerful. Sin is mighty, but God is almighty. And where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. How many knows that darkness don't put the light out? The darker it is, the brighter the light shines. I said, God has lit a light in our hearts. If you'll get in the light, I said, if you'll get in the light and stay in the light, there's a remedy for your malady. I've got some good news. 27 weeks of Holy Ghost revival. Over 20,000 people have come forward to repent, and there's no end in sight. They're going to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming all over the nation, all over the world. The revival is the revival of repentance. Come on, give Him a hand of praise. I said some weeks ago the difference between grace and mercy. We use it interchangeably, rightly so, and you're not doing injustice when you do that, but there's a difference. The definitions is this. Grace is the good things He gives us that we don't deserve. How many thanks God for amazing grace? But mercy is the bad things He doesn't give us that we deserve. How many thanks God for His mercy? I'm going to say it again. Grace is the good things He gives us that we don't deserve. Mercy is the bad things He don't give us that we deserve. And that boomerang was going to circle back, but it hit the old rugged cross. It hit Jesus Christ. The message is this: you reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow, you reap after you sow. It's later that it comes back. You don't get by with it. You think you do, but you don't. Ladies and gentlemen, Babe Ruth was a tremendous ball player, home run hitter. Over 700 home runs. A lot of you don't know this. Little known fact about him: before he became a famous ball player, he's a movie star. Starred in one movie. And that one movie made $25,000. And he toured the land promoting that movie, and he would hold up a check for $25,000. As he bragged upon his movie and bragged upon his check. It was a year or so later he got around to cashing the check. Found out by that time those that wrote him the check had gone bankrupt. And the check was no good. Now I'm going to tell you right now. Two more weeks I'm going to be with you. Two more weeks in the month of April. And all the great results that God's given us is awesome. But I think about that person that sits out there in that pew. And you've got a check. And you haven't cashed it. You've got a chance to come to Jesus. You've got a chance to get right with God. You've got a chance to repent of your sins. But you think, I've got plenty of time. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow is a word that's only found on a fool's calendar, in a fool's vocabulary. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. I'm telling you right now, there's going to be a last service. There's going to be a last sermon preached. There's going to be a last anthem sung. The Bible's going to lay folded on the altar. The pews are empty. Ladies and gentlemen, the trumpets have sounded. You're going to find yourself standing before God. There's going to be a time when you breathe your last breath. And you don't realize that it's going to happen. Let it hit you right now. If it hits you right now, you know what you'll do? You'll turn away from the flesh and from your sin. And for those of you that feel like that you can get by with it, you can't get away with it, folks. You need to run to God right now. Run to Jesus right now. That lust that's in your heart is going to reap consequences. And I'm going to tell you right now, the problem you have with that temptation is no match for the problem you'll have with the consequences. Just a moment of pleasure, a lifetime of regret, the pangs of a guilty conscience, demons tormenting you, wondering and pondering, midnight hour, you toss and you turn. There's a remedy. How many knows His name is Jesus Christ? I'm pointing you to Jesus Christ tonight. The problem you have with that temptation is no match for the problem you'll have with the consequences. The book, I Was Wrong, Jim Baker says, I went to jail not to suffer for the sin, even though I deserved it, but God told me, I brought you here to get you quiet, to get you quiet, to strip you and stretch you so you would know me. And the message for the church today, turn your back on your sin and run to Jesus Christ. You don't have to go to jail and you don't have to go to hell. How many knows you can come to Holy Ghost revival and be set free? I believe there's such a thing as a generational curse, but I also believe there's a generational blessing. I said, I believe there's a generational blessing. And I believe when you come to Jesus Christ, I've seen the Rogers family get right with God. Daddy Rogers was a preacher. I've seen Bill come get right with God. 19 have come and got right to God in this revival as a result of the prayers of a grandma who's in heaven tonight. How many knows God can save generations to come? I said God can save generations to come. Oh yes. There's a generational curse. There's a generational curse. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's a generational blessing. Ladies and gentlemen, human history can be written in three words. It's called generation, degeneration, but it doesn't stop there. How many knows there's another word called regeneration? It's the regeneration. The Bible says in Titus, we're regenerated by the mercy and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Old things have passed away, and I'm up there to shout, amen. I'm telling you, I'm starting to feel my Holy Ghost Cheerios, folks. I'll never run the aisles in 27 weeks, but I'm just about ready to get outside there and start running up and down that broken down highway, amen. How many knows there's revival in the land of mercy and grace? Thank God we're not getting justice and judgment. Thank God there's a remedy. Thank God there's a sure cure. Well, everybody stand. Everybody stand. Give Him a hand of praise. Come on, give Him a hand of praise. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Why don't you lift your hands all over this building? If you lift Him up, He'll lift you up. It works that way, folks. It's the Bible boomerang. Lift your voice. Jesus, Jesus, Lord, to me. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lift your voice and praise Him. Lift your voice and praise Him. Oh God. Oh God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I blessed the day in the hospital room when the elderly statesman pulled me to his side and said, never forget it, you reap what you sow. I believe that, folks. I believe that. As I was reading that book, I was wrong. Jim Baker has reaped. I'm going to tell you right now, somebody murders a man, you come to Jesus, God forgives you. But you still go to jail. There's consequences with sin. It's horrendous. In the great revival in Pensacola, people have come forward to get right with God and confessed of murders. And they take him to the authorities. And the authorities take him to the judge. You know what they do? Plead for mercy. The blood will never cover what you don't uncover. I don't care how long you've lived in church. If there's a time in your life, there's unrepentant, unconfessed sin. Achan goes out. Achan looks to his right. He looks to his left. He looks in front. He looks behind. But he forgot to look up. How many knows there's an all-seeing eye that's watching us? I want a clean slate. I want to know that all is well. Lay aside your religious verbiage tonight. Lay aside your little patty kicking for Jesus. And I want you to lay bare your heart. It's broken, contrite spirit that God's looking for. Jim Baker's a broken man. I believe he's a repentant man. He says, I was wrong. That's the first step. Admit. Everybody say admit. There's another step. Submit. Say submit. Sometimes God will take us through some things to get us to submit. Our lives must correlate with our lips. We sing, He is Lord. Is it a fad or is it a fact? It's fun to sing it, but is it a fact in your life? Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? The blood will never cover what you don't uncover. I've said that for 27 weeks, and I'll say it till the trumpet sounds. Dr. Jack Van Impe said last night, he said, I believe it's going to be year 2001 to 2012, the coming of the Lord. Then he quickly points out that our calendar is different from the real calendar, the Jewish calendar. Discrepancy of 3 to 5 years. That means Jesus could come in 1997. Folks, I'm telling you right now, he's coming. I don't care who tells you he's not coming, he's coming. And he's wrapping things up right now. And the greatest sign that Jesus is coming is the body of Christ is getting right with God. Thousands are repenting. They're coming to Jesus. In a few moments, I'm going to give an altar call. I want you to see what happens. I want you to see people, deacons, leaders, preachers, church-going people, backsliders, those that harbor secret sins. Let me rephrase that. There's no such thing as a secret sin. How many knows he knows? Nobody else knows. He knows. But in a few moments, people's going to move out in the aisles and they're going to come from all over the building. You know why? I don't want that boomerang to come back on my head. It's hit Jesus. I'm going to accept what Jesus did for me 2,000 years ago. And you need to repent. Everybody say repent. Put your right hand in the air right now. Say these words. Help me, Jesus, to be honest, humble, hungry, holy, to hear your voice, to do what I'll be glad I did when I stand in your presence. Help me, Jesus, to repent tonight. I praise you right now. Lift your other hand and just praise him for 15 seconds.